This is episode 108, recorded on May 10th, 2013. Peckard Pokes at Tongues, Teas, and Travel.
Do you want to stream Peckard Pokes at on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Peckard Pokes at, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Peckard Pokes at. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Peckard Sonic. And joining us from far East Coast is Joe Unseen.
Peckard, when someone asks you, are you a god, you say yes.
Damn it. I knew there was a reason why I'm not getting laid. They keep asking me if I'm a god, and I say no, and they walk away. Shit. I'll have to remember that one. Anyway, join us from the far west coast is Medusa Rance.
Hang ten, baby, and Joe is a god. Did I do it right, Joe?
Yes.
Okay. I'm cool, man.
Well, at least you're not doing it naked like you said we were doing last week, so.
Sure. Damn it. Damn the jeans.
Yes, yes. And joining us also tonight, our special guest is Strife from the far east coast.
Hello. Salutations.
Salutations.
Welcome, Strife.
Welcome to Peckard Pokes at.
Thank you.
We have a lot of good stories for you tonight. If everybody's got their safety belts on, let's get on with the show.
Building a better future, science and technology.
If you want to go to Mars, there's a company that is right now recruiting to get people to Mars. And if you want to go to Mars, don't expect a return flight ticket. You will not get one. There are thousands of people who are, you pay about $40 to take a test online. And then what they're using that money for is to fund the trip out there. You will be going out there with about 30 other people overall. And it's supposed to be fully colonized by 2035, as I remember seeing. And there's a lot of places I want to go in my life. Mars is not one of them. Because if I went to Mars, I'd be going, I think I wanted to go back. No, there's no space program going back to Earth. So plus you have to spend several months, almost a year, in a tin can going there. Now, if you have the gumption and you have nothing to do with your life for the next, you know, ever, get your ass to Mars. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, it would have been 78,001 applicants, but I couldn't scrounge up the $38 for the application fee.
Oh, hell.
Yeah. I don't know. This doesn't seem doable. If they had set their goal as the moon, mm-hmm. I think it might have been plausible, but this company only has drawings of what they want to do. They still have to develop the spacecraft. And that takes a tremendous amount of time and money and know-how. It took NASA engineers almost a decade to figure out how to go to the moon. And that was just for a few days at a time.
Right.
These people want to go to Mars and build a permanent colony. You know, I mean, how are you going to go to Denny's on Mars?
Or Kmart. Or someone's going to have to build a Walmart up there, you know. And dating? Oh, hell, you date the whole population. You've especially if you piss off one of them, you've pissed them all off, you know. Let's not even get into the concept of children here, which we will talk about here a little bit. Medusa, your thoughts?
Children?
Yes, children.
That's how we're going to populate it.
Oh, well. You know, the field of red, you know, run your fingers through the sand.
Hey, love the one you're with, babe. No, I think this is one of the most cockamamie ideas I've ever heard in a lifetime.
Mm.
But, hey, it's a free country, America is. And yes. If you want to have kindergartners draw your plans up, well, buddy, have at it.
We can put the lunar lander here, and over here is the cow jumping over the moon. You know,
yeah,
it's all tied into a reality
how
TV
I
show.
Thought
also.
It was
yeah,
when I first saw the article, I was like, you had to be kidding me.
Yeah. This was actually an Ars Technica, so the source is actually good. So I thought this was what we call the near onion. No, it's not the onion story, but this is actual. People are actually out there doing this. I don't see much hope for it personally. It would be great if they do, because then I would sit and watch that one. But you know, then the next thing you're going to see is the doctor is going to show up, and you're going to see this blue box appear out on the plane on the fields of Mars, and you're going to see a guy walk out with a bow tie.
You know, it's how social
alien,
media screws
alien,
with like
the true story.
You know how social media screws with American Idol, and they always vote for the weakest contestants to get through.
Uh-huh.
If this is like a call vote in reality show for who gets to go on the Mars mission, I think we should vote off all the doctors. We should play up the biggest douchebag there. Just be like, yeah, him.
Strife, your thoughts?
I'm just curious about like what would people do on Mars, in my opinion, because leaving Earth, I mean, the astronauts themselves, I mean, wouldn't you get homesick eventually over time?
I would think so, yeah.
And also, I mean, the population, how many people was it again? Three.
I remember she was about total about
48,
yeah, something 48, like that.
48,000?
50 initially by 2020, 25, as I recall reading here somewhere.
Well, that seems like a sustainable population, I guess.
Yeah,
they have to keep getting relief ships.
Yeah, they're supposedly supposed to start sending them in, in 2015 or 2016 maybe, and then they'll send out a new one every couple of years.
I'm thinking Silent Running,
Silent
the true
running.
Story. Bruce Dern can reprise the role.
I just want to see them come across the alien tunnels and start the air oxygen machine up.
Totally.
Totally recalled.
Totally, dude.
Did you have any last thoughts on that, Strife?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Now let's get into our next topic for this evening.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
There's a lot of people out there that do really weird shit, especially with animals. Some people have sex with animals thinking they're going to have a baby with it. You have to see the last episode when we did on The Onion. There's these men out in Oak Creek, and this is from my state, Wisconsin. They put a T-shirt on a deer, and they got fined $300 for this. Now, the people, the residents, said that they would still see the deer about. And which the deer, it was all torn, the shirt was all torn up, mostly gone. But this was in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, not known for a lot of hunting down there. This is Oak Creek is down by Madison, or Milwaukee rather, and it's not a big deer population down there as far as I know. I've never hunted down there, so I don't know. But if you're going to dress a deer, you know, do it like hunters do it. You know, you kill it and then you do whatever it is they do to deer to dress them down, I guess. But don't go try to put your T-shirts on them. I mean, if you put go find a deer and you put a T-shirt that says "Go Buckies," that's just really ridiculous. No, I'm sure that deer would wear it proudly. Hey, go Buckies! Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of wish this was an Onion story. I mean, these clowns, they tackled the deer to the ground, they put a T-shirt on it, they videotaped it, they uploaded it to YouTube, and that's how they got caught.
Mm-hmm.
And they wound up getting fined $300 a piece for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the poor deer. But, yeah, people said they saw, like you mentioned, they saw the deer walking around weeks later, still had pieces of the T-shirt on it.
Yeah. It's just, I feel sorry for the deer that had to be put through this. That's cruel. It really is cruel. I mean, putting yellow on a deer, I mean, it just clashes.
Oh, I know.
At least put him in a Bucky's outfit or something, you know.
Or a John Deere hat.
Yeah, at least a John Deere hat. Give him a John Deere hat. Yeah, it already has the antlers, you know. They call that
put
one dad.
Put some chonies on him.
Chonies, right. Medusa, your thoughts?
That's my thought. Put some chonies on him. Give him some dignity.
Mm-hmm.
Deer want dignity, too. And that's what the T-shirt should have said.
Deer one?
Deer, yeah. Deer want dignity, too. Why isn't PETA doing something about this?
Well, I don't put any much stock in PETA. The only PETA I guess put stock in is the PETA bread, you know, and then you put your meat in that. But, yeah.
My drummer's off for the night,
okay.
I didn't have my bump. Sorry about that.
That's all right. We'll fire him later. Do you have any other last thoughts on this, Medusa?
These men have nothing to do with their lives. or their wives, apparently. So they do it to deers. And that is my last thought.
Okay. Strife, your thoughts.
I'm just curious if these are the men that want eventually deers to vote and all that other shit. They want them to vote. They'll put them on money. They'll, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe put one on Mount Rushmore one day. maybe it'll be an omen for the rise of the John Deeres.
Yes. This deer's for you. So
buck for bucks.
Yes, that's just too bizarre. I mean, the stupidest part about this, and Joe mentioned it, is that they put the video up on YouTube. The stupidest things that people do when they do something stupid and most likely illegal, they put it up on YouTube and then they brag about it, and they're thinking, I got a fake name up there, they'll never get caught. Well, you know what, people have these things called faces. You know, and people do like recognize them. So yeah, if you're gonna do something stupid, don't put it on YouTube, okay?
Right, put it on Vimeo.
Yeah, there you go. No one watches Vimeo.
Mom, please put it on YouTube so we can all watch.
Yeah, well, yeah, then we'll give you your Darwin Award, especially if you don't survive whatever it is you've done. You know, just crazy. All right, well, let's get into our next topic for this evening. We talk about religion on the show, but this particular topic is not about religion. It's about language. If you've ever heard of the Tower of Babel, now, the creationists believe that, you know, everybody spoke one language until God didn't like the fact that they were building a really tall tower, and they separated them all by making them speak different languages. There is a study that has been going on to follow where languages actually come from. Not from a book, and the Tower of Babel is total horseshit anyway, but that's beside the point. They were able to go back at least 15,000 years with certain words, because certain words across all cultures seem to just resonate. Several words like mother, tuple, man, and several other words like I, male, fire, hand, to hear. So if you came across a Neanderthal, you know, chopping down at the local IGA, and he's wearing a Republican pin, you can use these same words and they'll understand you.
Shit.
little political humor there. But no,
Neanderthals do not shop at the IGA. Yeah.
You're right. They shop at the Pick and Save. Anyway. Little plug for them. But the thing is, though, with languages, it's the one thing that binds us. Even though languages over time evolve, like humans have been evolving for the last several million years, languages also evolve, and if you go back to the root language, you can learn so much more about our cultures, because certain words will just lead to stuff that you probably didn't even realize that existed. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, linguistics is definitely an interesting subject. I love to occasionally look up the etymology of words to figure out why we call the things the words we use. And these linguists are attempting to trace the evolution of language back further than anyone else has done before, mm-hmm. taking note of certain speech sounds that tend to change or not change, and comparing languages and regions that had influence with each other. And as you mentioned, the article compares the changes in languages to biological evolution. And I think that's a great comparison. I think you can even include other things in that, like art and religion.
Mm-hmm.
Given enough generations, change can be seen in all sorts of things, especially things like this.
Mm. Interesting. Medusa, you were very interested in this story. What are your thoughts?
I too, am interested in the etymology of words, as is Joe. And I, of course, jumped all over this, like, black on white as a religious story.
That's not a religious story in this instance.
No, but I'm not. I'm not going there.
Okay.
Not going there.
It says Tower of Babel.
Tower of Republicans. No, I'm sorry.
If Joe and I wanted to go there, we could go. Let me tell you, baby.
You know, go ahead.
I'm just going to go a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There are two Greek words, xenos and glossa. Xenos means foreigner, and glossos means tongue, foreign tongue. That's mm-hmm. all it means. And if people would read the original Greek, they would get the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying this for years. Or read the actual Hebrew that was written.
Yes.
Or the Aramaic. You have to go very far back, as Packard said, to get to the original etymology of words. And I think it's fascinating, and more people would learn about the English language and how we speak today
mm-hmm.
if they would go back and study etymology.
Yes.
And the words are really simple, right, Joe? When you go and you break them down, they're not as hard as people think they are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's really interesting. George Carlin put it best. I mean, there are thoughts, and then there are words, and then you assign a word to a thought, and you're stuck with that word with that thought. It's really kind of cool. Language is what, like I said, it binds us together, and it, unfortunately, at the same time, it separates us all apart. Strife, your thoughts.
The thing I'm curious about is, like, you can trace back the languages, I'm guessing, the characters that are similar to them and such, but pronunciations in ancient languages, I don't understand if you could actually learn what their pronunciation was were. You know, like, kind of like Jesus and Jesus, you know, like you mm-hmm. say two different ways, you know, like, why is it called Jesus now and then they called it Jesus? How the heck did that pronunciation miscommunicate or something?
That's the great question, but I'm not a linguistic expert on that, so I really couldn't give you, what's that?
Is it Medusa kind of like one?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think she's a, I think she's just a something she likes to study, but Medusa, can mm-hmm. you answer, his question?
Jesus? Jesus is a variation of the Spanish version of Jesus, so that's where you get that, just like you get Jeebus from Packard.
Please,
Jeebus. I do it.
Packard
just
invented a new language, everybody.
There you go.
Praise the Jeebus.
Praise the Jeebus.
from what I understand about it, they do trace back writings. They look for clay tablets and scrolls and stuff like that, and he's right. They don't know how everything was pronounced back in the day.
Yeah, that's what, like, I don't get. Like, you know, like, you can, like, I don't think they can read that, actually. They could possibly, like, decode what it means, but I don't think they could actually read it. Like, you know, like Mayan writing. You know, you can't read it.
Mm-hmm. You know, there was a tablet many years ago. You're talking about the Mayans, but I'm going to go back even further. When they went to the Egyptians, it was called the Keystone.
Rosetta Stone.
The Rosetta Stone. Thank you, the Rosetta Stone. And so they were basically they didn't know they actually had it until one day they figured it out. The one language was actually put together because of this one, well, stone in this case, and it had a root language that was able to translate the other parts of the language, and they were able to put it together.
If I remember correctly, the Rosetta Stone had Greek on it, and pretty
yes.
much
yes.
they just translated from, because they knew how to they know what Greek was, and they knew how to translate Greek, but they mm-hmm. didn't know how to translate right. Egyptian, but.
Right.
Yeah, but
right.
there was a variation between the Rosetta Stone and the
Egyptian. The difference, though, with the Mayan cultures, the ones in America, is we burned all the books. We pretty much killed their population, so there's no more Mayans around that are speaking Mayan. You know, there's. No,
oh yeah, yeah. So well, there are languages that come and go. I mean, yeah. Look at Esperanto.
But we have books, and they have temples full of writing. You know, like, they have the hieroglyphs and such that we can't read, which is kind of sad. You know, like,
yeah.
They look like symbols and stuff, but, you know, what they actually mean, who knows.
Yeah, well, that's why we have special linguists out there that actually study this stuff, and they put their whole lives into it so they can actually translate it. That's how, like, when they decoded stuff during the wars, they would do all this extra stuff so they could translate what they're saying so they could figure out what's going on. Anyone don't have any last thoughts on this?
There's a fascinating document in Sweden. It's supposed to be a Bible. It's called the Gygets Maximus. And it's the biggest Bible ever written.
Mm-hmm.
It has beautiful illustrations of it. And all I want to say to people is to keep that name in your mind, Google it, look at it. They just recently got it all on print. And if you like to look at books, you know, I don't believe in the Bible, but I will look at pretty books. I'm a girl. What can I say?
Well, nothing wrong with that.
But I would say explore that document there. It's been lovingly restored, and that's all I have to say about a short show.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Google it.
Google it. Yeah, Google it. Google it. All right. All right, well, let's get on to our next story for this evening.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality.
Oh, get up at the door, cut. No, I'm sorry.
English.
That's right. We're speaking in tongues tonight. Our discussion for tonight is speaking in tongues. There are churches out there. What they do is they get people to speak supposedly in another language, which is total garbage. Usually Pentecostal, because I was involved in the Pentecostal church for a short time. That what they do is they speak gibberish, and they think that's God speaking through them or angels speaking through them, and it's total garbage. Now we're gonna start the time at start our timer up right here. There we go, and we're gonna start off with Strife, and your thoughts on speaking in tongues. Time starts now.
It's total bullshit. Mm-hmm. Pretty much is the simplest way I could put it, because I know people who can actually speak in tongues, and
yeah, so could I.
Yeah, and pretty much it's more of a mimicking kind of thing, I guess. They're just mimicking what other people say, I guess, and their brain somehow jangles it up and just spew out nonsense, like just random shit.
Yeah, they put a person who claimed to speak in tongues in an MRI, and the brain. When you're in an MRI and you're speaking, certain parts of the brain light up. And when people get in there and they pretend to speak in tongues, it was all over inside their brain, because even the brain knows what they're doing is total bullshit. Because there's like, this isn't language. It's not language. There is no speaking in tongues.
It's like your brain spazzing out.
Yeah, exactly. You might as well just go and just flap your lips and just push air through them, because there's nothing there.
It's kind of like, I don't want to make fun of a mental illness, but kind of like, you know, the person has Tourette's in a sense. They just spew out shit.
With Tourette's, actually, they're actually speaking real words most of the time. It's usually swear words.
I'm talking about the times when they don't speak real words.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That'd be the language centers are scrambled in that instance.
Yeah.
Joe?
We can just jump in any time.
Go ahead, please.
Well, the definition of speaking in tongues, again, goes back to the Greek, xenoglossy.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, it's just the Greek word xenoglossy broken down into foreign tongue. And the definition is the putative paranormal phenomenon which a person is able to speak or write a language he or she could not have acquired by natural means.
Unfortunately, that's not possible. I mean, they've had people.
No, it's not possible.
Right.
The definition itself makes it not possible.
Right.
Even a person who speaks German fluently, but who was not a native German speaker, has never studied German. Never been to Germany, never associated with German speakers or had any source of exposure to the German language, would said to exhibit xenoglossy. I don't see how that is possible.
Yeah, it's not. It's just gibberish, because when you're in a situation like that, you're being pressured. And I know this firsthand experience. They just say, "Oh, you just pretend." They said, "Just let it out. Just." Whatever comes to your mind, just let it go, and then they will pressure you, and they will put. And if you're especially out in front of all these other people, you're just gonna do anything just to make sure that everybody else, make you think you're actually in the spirit, as it were. Joe,
was that an embarrassing?
It really was. It was. It was really embarrassing. But you know, the thing is, these people they're so deluded; they think it's real. If they think it's real, they don't think anything of it. I might as well have just gotten up there and read the newspaper, you know. And I was reading a comment on one site that said, if you go to a church, if you have the gumption to do this, go to a church and just write down a set of words that you're going to say, and just say them in another language that you figure that no one else is going to do, or know for that matter, and just and then carry a tape recorder and record it. And then they say, well, go back to them and say, well, they'll think you're speaking in tongues or whatever. And Russian's really good for that, too. I imagine do that in Russian. And then just they say, oh, no, these are the words I was saying. And say, oh, well, what they were they? And they say, you just repeat them. And these were, and you play back the recording and say, here, see, this is what it was. And so you're just playing, it's a great practical joke. Joe, what are your thoughts on speaking in...
That's a shopping list.
That was my grocery list from last week.
Yeah, I had heard of it. I never saw it until recently. I looked it up on YouTube and I was blown away. I was like watching these people doing it. I saw a minister doing it and I was just like, whoa, holy, that is some batshit crazy stuff going on there.
It is.
And I was talking to a theist, this was probably over a year ago, on Twitter, and he was like making some point, and I said, well, that's as ridiculous as speaking in tongues, and he suddenly got very defensive of it and was like, well, that's the language of the angels.
Yeah, that's like, what they often say. Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, geez. So before this show, I went and looked on YouTube again, and I found a video where they're actually quoting all these verses in the Bible. Like, there's one in 1 Corinthians somewhere where it says, like, you will pray in tongues and pray, you know, and mm-hmm. it actually uses that kind of language, which is, like, I guess where they base it on, yeah. where they get that from.
Yeah,
but
Corinthians,
you know,
4 something, as I recall.
It's pretty much only the Episcopalians that do it. Am I correct? Because I know the Baptists are kind of mad at them because they do that.
Yeah, the Baptists
do that.
Don't. Yeah, the Baptists, they take a whole other stance against speaking
right.
in tongues.
The Baptists are more into the blood of Jesus and being saved by saying a few words, whereas the Episcopalians are like, oh, no, that's not the way. You have to speak in tongues. And that, you know, they don't like each other because of that contention.
and then at the end of the day, they all go to the chicken joint and eat fried chicken and waffles. You know, hey,
yeah, Chick-fil-A.
Yeah,
and complain about the gay people.
Yeah,
sounds so French.
Yeah, because the Baptists will think that the Pentecostals are speaking when they do the speaking in tongues. That they're actually the devil is speaking through them.
Yes. Yes,
that's something the video I watched was mentioning, it said that they get criticized a lot. You need your tongue to speak, in a sense? Because don't you need your tongue to do vowels and stuff?
Vowels, these little things in between the letters, you know.
you're manipulating your tongue when you're doing that, aren't
yeah.
you?
Well, yeah, unless you're from Russia, then there are no vowels in there in your name. It's all consonants.
All consonants. Poor Russians. They always get capped on.
Yes. Well, they do have a very, very weird language, but
no offense to anybody in
Russia.
It's backwards English.
Yeah, it's
backwards English.
Especially the R's are backwards, you know.
It's kind of like
the N's are backwards
Klingon.
Also. I think it is.
Yeah, it's Klingon in reverse.
It's easier Klingon. Well, no, it's harder Klingon. Klingon is easier than Russian.
It's Klingon for dummies.
Yeah. Klingon for dummies.
I'm sorry.
And that is our time. Oh, this has been a good topic. We should maybe come back to this again sometime. But, yeah, speaking in tongues, no, sorry. If you think that you're speaking in tongues, you're fooling yourself because there's nothing to it. Anybody can do it. There's actually an atheist out there who used to be a preacher, a Baptist preacher, and he still does it once a year or so. And I've heard him actually do it on a podcast. And he's an atheist. And I just did it myself. And I'm an atheist. So if you think speaking in tongues is God talking through you or angels talking through you, the only person that's talking through you is your ass. So, or you're talking through your hat, whichever one you think is the more appropriate for you. Anyway, let's get on with the next topic for this evening. Our funny tweet tonight comes in from the Bad Astronomer. Now, with a name like that, you'd think, oh, he must be looking for the stars in the dirt. No, it's actually the Bad Astronomer is actually Phil Plate. He's a well-known astronomer, woo-hoo! And he has a real funny tweet. He says, I'm proud of my self-control, limiting myself to 3 thin mint cookies a day. The problem is I'm using the crab pulsar to measure my day. I have the same problem with thin mint cookies, from especially from Girl Scouts. I that's why I refuse to buy them, because I will just go eat them by the sleeve.
Exactly. I was just gonna say, eat them by the sleeve, keep them in the freezer.
Yeah. They are just too good. Fortunately, I can get something very similar to it now. Keebler decided to rip them off, and they've got something.
Give it to the elves to rip off the Girl Scouts.
They have their own version of Thin Mints now, and they're a damn good ringer for it. So I have to stay away from that aisle when I'm in the store.
Damn elves!
You've stolen the Girl Scouts cookies.
Jeebus Christ!
Elves shouldn't cross Girl Scouts. They run a racket and they'll break their legs.
They'll beat you up, man.
They'll be sued for recall.
Have you ever seen Beverly Hills Girl Scouts? Wait, that's an old movie.
Don't you mean Beverly Hills Ninja?
No, it's not Beverly Hills Ninja.
It was called Troop Beverly Hills.
That's it, Troop Beverly Hills. There you go, Beverly Hills.
Leave it,
Joe. Badges. We don't need no stinking badges.
Troop of Girl Scouts fighting the Soviets.
Yeah.
That's an actual movie?
No, that's a variation of Red Dawn, or it's called Green Dawn. With Green Scout, they sold them all the cookies. They got fat, and they just kicked their ass. All right, let's get to our shout-out for this evening.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout-out tonight comes from Joe, and Joe's shout-out is for Religious Jetsa. That's R-E-L-I-G-I-O-U-S-J-E-Z-T-A.
Yo,
I looked at his profile when we were talking about it. He's got all these clowns in like a Last Supper. And we were discussing. Joe was trying to figure out which clowns were which, and he named a good portion of them. But I was like, I bet you I could name most if not all these clowns. And Medusa's like, he's like, I don't think he could do it. And he's like, she's going, holy shit, he can. So yeah, it's
you're obviously traumatized by Bozo.
Bozo wasn't actually up on that one. He should have been, but he wasn't.
Religious Jetsa. I've been following this guy for a real long time.
Mm-hmm.
He's been following me, and he's a part of the atheist community on Twitter. I don't understand why he doesn't have more followers. I've shouted him out a whole bunch of times, and his follower count just grows very slowly. So please give this guy some follows, because he really is worth it.
Yes.
But his profile reads, he's got an off-color picture of the moon as his profile picture, and it says the picture of the moon is colored areas showing different compositions. It had a scientific aspect, and he has a link explaining it. Yeah, this guy, I wanted to shout this guy out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but his account went down.
His account was missing for some reason, and then just the other day, he tweeted me again, and I was like, oh, you're back, what happened? And he had no clue.
Apparently, he doesn't tweet a whole lot, so he had no clue.
I guess the reason is he's only on for a little while, and then he goes away, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if you're out there, give Religious Jets a follow. Give him a follow. He really needs your follow.
He needs more followers.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. His handle, again, is RELIGIOUSJEZTA. And tell him you heard him on the show. All right, let's get to our next topic for this evening. We have our special guest tonight, as you've probably already guessed. I love that line. Anyway, our guest tonight is Sir Strife from the Lying Ghost Show. Sir Strife, or he just wanted to be called Strife. Strife, I always ask this question for our guest. How did you come up with the name Sir Strife?
Ironically, the picture I use on Skype is actually ripped off from a game.
Mm-hmm.
And the game character's name is Strife, and I like the name Strife, so I just went with it. And pretty much since the Lion Ghost Show has begun, I've been using that picture, so it's been 5 months.
Oh, really?
Around, I guess. I had to make a new Skype account and everything.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
You also just took over the Lion Ghost Show, didn't you?
That was a few weeks ago, but yes, pretty much I've been taking over since Redline pretty much gave up the...
Gave up the ghost?
Yeah, gave up the ghost.
That's an old computer term. You have some amazingly long shows, and so you do get some amazing guests on your show. You've had
you mean the 5-hour episode?
Yes.
Oh, that was just because we had enough material to go off of for an after show.
Yeah.
I mean, never again. Never again.
Yeah, you just put the show up there. You don't even edit. This show is heavily edited.
Oh, no, I don't edit it because then that's censoring somebody or screwing up somebody's thing. So, no, I don't edit it.
I did
cut a video up once, but that was it. That was the most I ever did, cut up into three pieces. But nothing more.
Yeah, see, when I do editing, I just edit for, you know, little technical glitches and things like that. I don't edit it
because I want the person watching the video on YouTube to experience the same thing the people when they were watching the show to experience. So,
that's
so it's pretty much, you know, uncensored,
uncensored, uncut, and raw.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
of course you can rewind it and stuff. Well, and on the broadcast you can't, so...
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. I have another question here for you. Have you always been an atheist, or did you fall out of religion?
Always been an atheist, pretty much, because I never actually was a religious family, never actually had a reason to believe in a god, and never actually... Yeah, none of that stuff.
Okay. So what inspired you to get into doing podcasting and doing your own show?
Well, pretty much since... oh, man, this is hard to remember because this was months ago.
At least months ago.
Yeah.
We've been doing this show for a few years.
I know. My thing's only a few months old, remember?
Yes.
It's got more than you on YouTube, Veronica.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, maybe that's because you mostly do Twitter. But beat me in the views on Vaughn.
Oh, well, thank you.
But I guess pretty much since it was an activity to do with me and Redline Plant, Redline would get the Skype Premium while I would come up with the name and get the people on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had all other cast and crew, like Wit, Prag, and E-Froggy, and eventually E-Froggy and Prag and Wit fell out, and Wit came back finally recently, so...
Mm.
So pretty much I took over for a few times. Redline went on vacation, and I pretty much took over from there, I guess.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, the idea was from the old Family Guy skit, you know, the ghost that never lies comes to the stand.
Okay.
So that's where the name came from.
Okay, oh, that's cool. Joe, did you have any questions for Sir Strife?
I like your show. I think it's a good show. As Packard mentioned, it is have some very long episodes. I did watch the one where you had Aaron Ra on.
There was two.
I saw the one where you had him, and it was the presuppositionalist apologist.
You mean James?
I forget the guy's name.
Well, I mean, was this one recent or was it old?
It might have been old. I was just like trying to.
There's only two times Aaron's ever been on the show, and that was one with Nephilim Free, and the other one was with DPR Jones. With DPR Jones was in the call.
Hmm.
You didn't have him on with an apologist?
Well, maybe this guy was using presuppositional apologetics, this guy named James, who does that.
Okay. All right, it was a real interesting show, and I watched quite a bit of it, but yeah, it's a good show, man. Keep up with it.
Mm-hmm. Medusa, did you have any questions for Sir Strife?
I haven't had a chance to listen to your shows, and I feel remiss in that, but...
Well, I mean, you could watch it live tomorrow.
Ooh!
Yeah,
really?
He does the show. When is your show on?
I wanted to implement an idea I had, which was to make two shows for the European audience and for the American audience. Since the Europeans, I've tried to get a few people from Europe to get on the show, but the problem is time difference. So I made a show at 2 p.m. Saturday Eastern, and it would be, and that would be till 4. Mm-hmm. Then we'd have an after show. And then Sunday would be the regular show, the one that's 7 till 9 Eastern.
No, that's kind of cool. We actually have a lot of viewers here in the chat room that are also from the UK. We don't get enough people from the United States to watch this, but we got a lot of people from the UK watch this, and they stay up later.
It's true.
There's more people from the UK.
There's a five-hour difference, though.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Either they don't sleep or no one here in the United States cares. I don't know.
Doug is like, I'm mental enough to stay up.
There you go.
As am I.
Yes. Did anybody else have any questions? Other questions for? Actually, you know, I have another thing here. What do you do outside your? What do you do outside the real world?
I go to college.
You go to college. What are you going to college for?
Well, I'm thinking about changing my major because I really don't like electrical engineering anymore. I mean, I tried it, didn't like it that much.
But, oh, really?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe go into arts or history or science, because I love all those fields. I just don't know what to do.
Hmm.
I mean, I've been really going with my art side recently, doing the whole Flying Ghost Show's graphics and stuff, since pretty much I was trying to find a graphic designer to do the shit, but then I was like, oh, wait, if I did it, I wouldn't have to do it. I wouldn't have to wait so long, so I finally did it, and yeah.
Yeah, it helps having someone that you can turn to that does graphics really well.
Well, yeah, the problem with that, though, is it takes too much time, and it's been pulled back so many times. I'm like, screw it, I'm doing it myself. So I just did it.
Yeah, it's like what I do for the music here and the audio and the audio stuff here on the show.
You rip off Futurama, don't you?
No, I don't. That's actually none of my stuff is from Futurama at all. Actually,
that's my avatar. I made that from a Futurama app where you can create your own head in a jar.
Yeah, the graphics that the everybody else provides is their own stuff. I'm talking like the audio stuff, not visuals, actually.
Do most electrical engineers in the USA have ohm schooling? Ohm or
ohm schooling? Hey, he's a
ohm schooling.
That's funny. Ohm is actually measurement.
Yes.
Yeah. He's the master of puns.
he's very punny.
Sick puns is like, I'll kill you for that.
I immediately got it. My daughter has a degree in mathematical engineering. She's constantly dropping these jokes on me that I have no clue what they are.
Yeah.
So, you funny engineering students, knock it off.
Right. do we have any questions from the chat room?
I mean, I've also made an announcement. Finally made an announcement video for what's coming up every week now I'm going to do.
Oh, that's good.
And it's a 40-second video on YouTube right now, and it actually says who's the lineup, and tomorrow we're having DPR Jones on.
Mm. Oh, nice. I missed out a chance on actually speaking to him.
Yeah, I know. Packard, it's kind of funny. You've been doing this for 2 years. I've only been doing this for a few months, and I got Aaron Raw in only a month.
Yeah, well, I haven't asked him. Funny. I haven't even asked him. So that
I know, but Skype doesn't – don't try YouTube. Doesn't work.
Mm.
I was lucky.
Yeah, sometimes you have to. It's sometimes a little bit of luck, you know. But I wish you a lot of success in your show. And when I get the time and the energy,
well, you could talk. Well, I could possibly introduce you to DPR tomorrow.
Oh, hey, that'd be great.
If you're available, then.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna be not until like later in the day, but anyway.
Oh, the show will still be going by then.
Oh yeah, we'll still be going. Yeah.
You can go to work.
Yeah, after show,
they'll still be on the air.
Yeah, you guys. Yeah, I'll go to bed. You guys just stick around here and do the show without me.
Heck, I'm the one who broadcasts the show, so pretty much no one can do the show without me.
That's right. Well, that's the same thing here. No one can do the show here without me either. So, did anybody have any questions from the chat room here?
I mean, I love to have guests on the show. The only problem is actually getting theists on the show. That's the one thing I've noticed. Like, I mean, I actually talked to Jason Burns today, mm-hmm. which you don't know who he is. But
I didn't know who he was, and you said, Google it, and I was like, there's like 10,000 Jason Jones.
Well, I mean, does Medusa or Joe know Jason Burns?
No, I have not heard of him.
The infamous Jason Burns of Britain.
Is he related to Montgomery?
No, he has a thing against DPR and Aaron Raw.
Oh, okay.
And he makes like 1,000 videos a day. Like, he's nuts. He makes so many videos. I mean, he makes more videos than anybody I've seen.
Yeah, you were also talking with one time. You sent me a clip about some guy who thinks the planet's like inside and outside egg and everything.
Steve.
That guy is lunatic.
He's Stephen Christ. I actually, he's okay. Except I wouldn't say he's mentally he's okay when you talk to him, but I mean, I don't agree with what he believes.
Yeah, there's people who I think those people are mentally unstable, actually.
Well, I mean, I thought he was, but then, I mean, he apologized for what he did in the after show last week and stuff, because he came on as a jerk and stuff the last time he was on before.
Yeah, tell him to stop drinking.
What?
Tell him to stop drinking before the show. Or maybe he'll be better if he starts drinking. Who knows?
I mean, I'd love if someone came in the after show drunk. That'd be awesome. I mean, the after show pretty much is when you just fuck around. It really doesn't matter what you do.
That's true.
As long as we have a discussion and we have fun. Like, I mean, heck, that's why I was up till like 5 hours. 5 hours of the show. So that's 7 hours in total.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing the show on Sunday. So that's why we kept going. We had steam.
Yeah.
Eventually, though, I was the only one left, so I was like, okay, screw it, it's going off.
Yeah. Joe, either one of you had another question for Sir Strife?
No, how soon can we get him back on the show?
Well, I don't know, we'll have to work that out.
Yeah.
But anyway, actually, I have one other quick question for you. What's the best video you've ever seen on another channel and for YouTube or on YouTube there? What's a good channel that you think of when you go out looking for? Or what channel do you subscribe to other than, you know, Packard Pokes at? And this is the only channel you should really be watching anyway. No, I'm just kidding.
Give me a moment. Oh, I got one. The Realistic Nihilist.
Realistic Nihilist. All right. We'll give him a shout-out out there. if you can.
I mean, if you go to my channel, he's featured, so you could see him there.
Okay.
I mean, all you got to wait, give me 5 seconds, and I'll give a link to the channel, if that's okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, if it's in the channel there, don't worry about it. We'll just send me the link, and we'll put it up on the site there at packerpokes@wordpress.com. There'll be a link to the Line Ghost Show, and there'll be a link to the channel that Strife here is also suggesting.
Oh, and that too?
Yes. All right. All right, Strife. Well, I want to thank you for coming onto the show and being so gracious and, you know, joining us tonight. I would like to eventually, you know, get you back on the show again at some point. And would you be willing to come back again sometime?
Yeah, sure. Because, I mean, heck, it's better than doing nothing all Friday night.
yeah, tell me about it. That's the reason why I did it, because I just bored out of my skull. I don't get out much. all right, well, I want to thank you for coming, and we will be in touch. Speaking about being in touch, if you want to contact us by Twitter, by Facebook, we're all over the place. You just type in Packard Pokeset into Google, and you can find 10,000 different ways to contact us. But if you can't find us, we're going to give you all that contact information right now.
Would you like to contact us? We can be reached 28 hours a day, 8 days a week as Packard Pokeset on Twitter and by email at packardpokeset@gmail.com. Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host with occasional guest hosts who enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can also listen to the show on iTunes, YouTube, Mixler Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Click the like button on Facebook/PackerPokesat to join in the conversation. While you're there, don't forget to snap on the Focus on Photography group. Please rate, comment, subscribe, retweet, and repost the show wherever you can. It really helps us out. Please donate whatever you can afford to help keep the show running. Visit PackardPokesat.wordpress.com for more information on this or any other episode. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and for your support.
And thank you. Joe, you seem to be out of breath. I can hear you out there. Just kidding. Anyway, if you're out there, if you also would like to catch the past shows, we're up on Mixler Radio. That's at mixlr.com/Packard-Pokes-@. You can listen to all the shows from the very first show, the beta podcast, actually, all the way to the most current one, which will be up here in a few days. And please, while you're there, leave a comment and hit the heart on there, and this way, you know, we know that you're listening to us, and the show will play constantly over and over unless something screws up with my computer like it did again this week, and I didn't catch it right away, but I did get it fixed. So just get on there, and if there is a problem, you know, tweet me. I'm at Packard Pokes, @PackardPokesat on Twitter, and @Packard_Sonic on Twitter as well. So either way, you can always reach us. Anyway, this has been Packard Pokesat. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.
Hey, kids. It's time again to talk about your favorite subject. Yay! Contradictions in the Bible. According to the Bible, how old was Ahaziah when he began his reign? In 2 Kings Chapter 8, verse 26. 22 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. Yet in 2 Chronicles, chapter 22, verse 2, we are told 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. Did you like that, kids? Yay! Want to hear more?
Yay!
Sorry, but you'll have to wait till next week.